enlighten us now. And Lord, I thank you for what you've allowed us to enjoy today. Lord, you've allowed us to enjoy the praise and worship and the singing and the testimonies and the freedom of the Holy Spirit. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Lord, sometimes the well seems a little dry, but there's good cold water down in the bottom, Lord. Thank you for giving it to us today. Now, Lord, may for just a moment you speak to us through your word. Lord, may we be different than we was when we come in. But Lord, may we take the word of God as it is given. Thank you so much for it all. And please cleanse me, there be no hindrances in my heart or my mind. Forgive me where I fail you. Touch me fresh of thy power, I pray. In Jesus' name, and amen. We thought of Brother Rick's teaching this morning, and 2 John, as he was teaching in the Sunday school hour, and talking about deceivers, and now we're going to just go right hand in hand where he left off this morning in the book of Jude. Let's look at Jude. Of course, there's just one chapter, 25 simple verses here, but Jude, we'll start at verse 1, all right? Jude, the servant of Jesus Christ and brother of James, to them that are sanctified by God the Father and preserved in Jesus Christ and called, mercy unto you and peace and love be multiplied. Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that ye should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. For there are certain men crept in unawares, who were before of old ordained to this condemnation, ungodly men, turning the grace of our God into lasciviousness, and denying the only Lord God, and our Lord Jesus Christ. And we'll stop there for now anyway. And every day we live a little closer to the coming of Jesus Christ. Every day that we go. Now, we're closer to the Lord today, to his coming than we was yesterday. This might be the last day. Christ may come today. Now, it don't have nothing to do with whether you believe it or not. Us believing it does not change the event that's going to take place. Jesus is coming again. And if you do believe it, then it ought to bring you joy. If you don't believe it, it ought to bring you fear. You ought to know that it's still going to happen. And if you're not ready for it, it ought to bring you great fear because Jesus Christ is coming again. But the sad part about it is the condition that he's going to find the church, the condition he's going to find the world, that is sad. Now, we all know that the world is bad. We all know that, correct? We all know the world is evil, and it gets more evil. There's things going on that we don't even have a clue. We can't even see it all. If it did, we'd probably run and hide somewhere. But the filthiness and the sin that is so open and so common, it's ridiculous today. But that's in the world. But the stuff that's in the church is worse. When people who go to church or when churches itself turn against God, you realize that churches turn against God. You realize that churches are stopping two services on Sunday, one on Wednesday, because the people complain there's not enough time to play. Or if they don't complain that there's no time to play, they don't show up and they don't have no choice but to shut the church down because there's nobody to come because the people are at play. That's the day we live in. We live in a day where there's not a common belief anymore. We live in a day of apostasy. We're living in a day now. When Peter wrote in 1st and 2nd Peter, when he wrote about the apostasy that was going to come, he was looking in the future. And Jude writes about it, it's happening now. And that's where we're at. It's happening right now. You think about that. So I want us to look at a couple of things this morning. We'll take a text here in just a moment. But I want us to understand there's a warning here. There's a warning as well as exhortation. There's a warning that bad days are ahead, that bad days are here. But there's an exhortation this morning that we ought to contend for the faith. That we, the believer, ought to contend for the faith. This morning, we're going to do our best to preach to you about contending for the faith. Next Sunday morning, and maybe the next Sunday as well, we're going to preach to you about contending for the faith. Now, I want you to look here just for a moment in verse 1. Who is writing? It says Jude, the servant of Jesus Christ, the brother of James. All right, if you read in the book of James, this is Jude's brother. All right, but something he don't say, he says, I'm a servant of Jesus Christ. What he don't say is, I'm also the half-brother of Jesus Christ. This is who this Jude is. Everybody understand? And he said, I am the servant of Jesus Christ. See, if you go back and read in your Bible, you'll see that they didn't believe that Jesus was who he said he was. Not until after he arose. Then they believed. Are you hearing me? Then they believed. And then when they believe, they become servants. See, just because you might be in the household, they was in the household where Jesus was and didn't believe in him. Think about that. They was in the household. I'm going to say it again. They was in the household where Jesus was raised and James and Jude didn't believe him. So just because you're in a Christian home or just because you're in a home that has the Bible don't mean that you're a Christian, don't mean that you're saved. Somewhere you're going to have to acknowledge that Jesus is God, that he died and was buried and rose again, and you're going to have to place your faith there as well. Think about that. And then it goes on and says, Jude, the servant of Jesus Christ, brother of James, to them that are sanctified by God the Father. And preserved in Jesus Christ and God. That's all the believers right there. The church, the believers, the body of Christ. We're the ones sanctified. We're the ones set apart for the purpose of God. We're the ones that's kept by the power of God. We're the ones that's preserved in Jesus Christ and called. Is everybody still okay? Y'all ought to have said amen there that you're set apart and preserved. Maybe you're not preserved. Maybe you don't believe that. Well, you need to believe your Bible this morning. We're preserved in Jesus Christ. All right. Then it goes on and says in verse 2, mercy unto you and peace and love be multiplied. Now he's getting ready to tell them some things that they're going to need some mercy and some peace and some love. He said, I hope it's multiplied now. Get ready. He said, you're going to need it. You're going to need to get through some things. Mercy is looking upward. We better be crying out to God for mercy. We don't want justice. The church this morning don't want justice. We need mercy. Every believer this morning needs mercy. Every lost man needs mercy. But we better be praying for mercy because I don't know that we're tallying up like we ought to. Are we okay this morning? And then it says, mercy unto you and peace. Well, mercy is going to look upward. Peace is going to have to look inside. See, we're living in a day now that there's not much peace in the house of God. There's not much peace in the Christian's life. Well, that don't make sense when the Prince of Peace lives in you. And we better be looking inside and thinking about this peace. Let it be multiplied inside. Then it says, and love. Well, that love's looking outward. We're looking upward and we're looking in. We're going to look outward because we're going to have to love one. Rick taught it this morning. I didn't know that he had finished 1 John. I was in the new convert class last Sunday. I didn't know we was going into 2 John. And it was right hand in hand this morning, Rick. You told us we're going to have to love. It's not going to matter anything else. We're going to have to love one another. Well, dark days are here and we better love one another. That's for sure. But then verse 3 says something else. Said, beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, he's saying here, I started to write about the common salvation, but I couldn't. I couldn't write it. I had to instead tell you about, it said it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that you should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. And Jude is fixing to write about apostasy, about the false doctrines, about the lies of the world, about the lies of those who profess that they're saved, of those who will come in and sit by you in the church house, who will creep in, men creep in unawares, and tell you untruths to steal your mind and heart away. And Jude says, be careful, because it's happening now. Are you hearing me? It's happening now. And this morning, we want to talk about this contending for the faith. It was needful. God changed his mind here, if you would. He's wanting to write about the common salvation. He said, no, you write about the apostasy. Write about the falseness. Write about the deceivableness that's in the church. That's in the church house. All right? Now, if you want a quick outline of what's coming, we're going to look at the contending for the faith about the Word of God. That'll be this morning. We're going to talk about next Sunday the contending of the faith in the way of God. And then we're going to look about the contending for the faith in the worship of God and the work of God. That's what's on the horizon, all right, if the Lord tarries. But I want you to understand there's a way. There's not many ways. Brother Rick give it so plain. I can almost just teach his lesson in Jude, what he taught this morning in 2 John. But there's not many ways this morning. There's not many ways in salvation. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. If you're saved this morning, you're saved. There's only one way to be saved. That's to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. That he died, was buried, rose, and that he's God. You believe that? That's salvation. There's no other way. But can I tell you, there's not many faiths. There's only one faith. It says here, contending for the faith. Not a faith, but the faith. Not your faith. The faith. There's one. And so I just got to reading and studying a little bit, and I said, I wonder what all the theologians, the smart ones, say about contending for the faith. And every one of them said, it's talking about the Bible. It's talking about the Word of God that's handed down. The Word of God is preserved and given us, and that we better start contending for the faith, because that's where it all starts at, right there. And this morning, I want you to understand that's where we're at. I told you here, it's been months ago, that there would be some things in the future that we would be preaching concerning your Bible. And we're going to start it this morning. And we're not going to try to bust nobody's bubble. And we're not trying to be contentious, but we are going to contend for the faith. The Bible tells us not to be contentious. We're not going to argue this morning. I'm not going to argue with you or no one else. We're not going to fight. We're not going to argue. But we're going to lay out some truth this morning, and that's just the way it is. And you need to take that and believe the truth of the Word of God today. There's an attack upon the church. There's an attack upon the believer. But can I tell you, it comes because there's an attack on the Word of God. And the very thing that's going to help you this morning is your Bible. You need a Bible this morning. You need to trust the Bible and use your Bible. And you need to understand, you don't know which way to go without your Bible. You don't know what choices to make without your Bible. You don't know how to pray without your Bible. You don't know how to serve without your Bible. You don't know how to worship without your Bible. You don't know how to do anything without your Bible when it comes to the Word of God. And he said, contend for the faith that was once delivered unto the saints and been handed down to me and you. And it starts with the Word of God today. You need a Bible. You need a Bible. And the one that's been preserved for us is a King James Bible. We're not arguing about that. Believe what you want. I'm just telling you the truth. You need to throw away your other things. And keep you a King James Bible in your lap and read it. And I know there'll be people that argue, but that's okay. That's okay. That's your business. You believe what you want to believe, you know. But the truth is what you need this morning. Now, just for an example this morning, the Bible says in Revelation chapter 22, and we'll read it to you right quick here, it says, "For I testify unto every man," verse 18, "that heareth the words of this prophecy, this book. If any man shall add unto these things, God shall add unto the plagues that are written in the book. If any man shall take away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life and out of the holy city from the things which are written in the book." I believe it's important that we don't add or take away, that we better keep the preserved word of God. We better read what he's made sure we've got a copy of. Are you hearing me today? I know that's always an issue, and there's always, we all got issues. I've got issues. Huh? We've all got them, right? But there's an issue we shouldn't have in the church house. And the Word of God is one of them this morning. It was needful, he said, to contend for the faith, the whole Word of God. Not our faith, but the whole Word of God. All of it this morning. Now look here in verse 4. "For there are certain men crept in unawares." Where did they creep in? They didn't creep in the world, they crept into the church house. They come into the church house to deceive. They come into the church house to blatantly deceive. Huh? Come into the church house to teach other doctrines. Doctrines of men, but there's not but one doctrine of God. It says, "For there are certain men crept in unawares who were before of old ordained to this condemnation." Now the Bible says they're ungodly men, turning the grace of our God into lasciviousness. Anybody that teaches you, you can sin and it's okay. We've preached against sin, heard it preached against sin from the beginning, even in the Word of God. And any man or any woman that'll teach you that it's all right to drink liquor, uh-huh, huh, is an ungodly man. Amen. They're ungodly. Yeah. They're men who's crept in unawares. Because yeah, wine is a mocker and strong drink is raging. And whoever is deceived thereby, huh? We know the scripture, do we not? Yeah. It's not wise. Yeah, Bible says not even to look at it. The reason I'm saying that is because of the things that even has come to this church in Reformed theology. And R.C. Sproul and John MacArthur and Steve Lawson and John Piper. Hear me today. Hear me today. Paul Washer. Name the names. You go ahead and read them. Go ahead and say, but it's going to mess you up. That you'll be as confused as a termite in a yo-yo. Wonder what has happened to you. Right. Hear me today.
You're telling the truth.
These are Calvinists,
yes,
teaching false doctrine.
Yes. Yes.
Telling it's all right to drink a little wine. Trying to deny the very things that God has laid out in His Word. Can I go ahead and tell you that leaven in the Bible is a type of sin, and a little leaven leavens the whole lump. And the bread at communion is unleavened bread because it can't have leaven in it because of a sinless Savior. And can I tell you that wine is fermented and rotten and is always a type of evil or a type of sin when it's fermented, and it can't be a type of my Savior's blood, for He was sinless. So don't downgrade my Savior when it says that you can drink and carry on. Don't do that. No. We're going to contend for the faith that was once delivered unto the saints, and we're going to stick with the whole Word of God. Now the reason I said that is because these people that I just mentioned to you, that's where they stand at. Reformed theology.
That is right.
I preached revival not long ago, and there was a person come to me that goes to this church and said, for a man that don't believe in Calvinism, you're awful close. I said, stop.
Yeah.
I said, you are reading Reformed theology.
Yeah.
I can tell by your tone. And he said, well, I have been. I said, it's going to ruin you. Stop it. Now, how did I know that? Because I read the whole Word of God. And I know what this book says. And you need your Bible because you'll get slick. Are you listening to me? If you're not going to read your Bible, then you need to listen to me. Huh? If you're going to be too sorry to read your Bible, then listen to me. I'll tell you the truth. But you need to read it for yourself. All right. Now I know this ain't popular. It might be with some of you. It ain't popular with everybody. And I know it ain't popular with those who's going to go back and listen. But that's all right. I'm going to contend for the faith. And contend for the faith. Faith don't mean to ball up my fist and fight. It means to stand, but it also means to bow with anguish. With hurt heart and broken heart. And anguish for the faith that God has laid out. And we'll start with the Word of God this morning. The Word of God. We still okay? For there are certain men creep in unawares who before of old ordained to this condemnation ungodly men, turning the grace of our God into lasciviousness. You know what they'll tell you? Now listen, let me tell you what they tell you in the church house. Well, I just couldn't live with that woman, so I had to bust up. It's okay, I can go ahead and serve God anyway. Are you hearing me? I know none of these things are popular, but I'm just telling you what we hear. We all right? Amen. It's okay. God knows my heart. I got a temper and sometimes I cuss. But yet the Bible says, don't let corrupt communication come out of your mouth. Yeah. So we got to rip all that out. The Bible says, if a man desires friendly, him show himself friendly. So they can't even handle that. They got to rip that out and make it mean something stupid. Everybody listen to me today. I'm just going to go ahead and contend for the faith. I'm just going to go ahead and just stand. I'm brokenhearted about people who don't believe, but I'm not backing up. I'm not backing up. All right? Now, there may be a time that there ain't many here. Huh? But there may be a time and we got to build faster than we thought we would. Because there might be some people start searching for the truth and come. Well, they're sick of what they're listening to in the world. Huh? And we ain't got to the Bible yet. We're just talking right now. Now Jude is called, the book of Jude is called the book of Judges in the New Testament. And if you read the commentaries, I was reading one commentary and give an analogy or give an example of what the book of Jude means. You know what it said? Arrogant apostasy. He writing about arrogant apostasy. And I said, wow, boy, ain't that the fact. Never saw such arrogancy with false doctrine. Of people who just got saved. That know more than the theologians who wrote the commentary and preached for you. That it all of a sudden changed and everybody's wrong. Huh? Are you listening to me? Evil men creep in unawares. Sit beside you in the church house. Speak swelling words. Become sensual, having not the Spirit of God. Sensuality will mask spirituality so close. That sensuality will move upon our emotions. To where we're sucked in by emotion. And yes, well that must be right because I felt good when you said it. And I feel good when you teach it. And I feel good when you said it. And it's sensuality, but it's not spirituality. Because if it was spirituality, it would agree with the Bible. Amen. I don't have to find another Bible to get it to agree with. Huh? So we're going to contend for the faith. People say, well, preacher, why are you so set? Why are you so set upon a King James Bible? Because, let me tell you why. If there's no other reason why, it's this why. Because your other versions deny the deity of my Savior. your ESV that is so popular today. If I don't do anything but read the Gospel of John, and I read John 3:16, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. We know that, but not in the ESV. They take out the begotten. And they take it out in the first chapter of John. And if you take out the begotten, you've took out my Savior's deity. You've took away that He's the only one that the Father begat and placed the seed of life in Mary's womb. And God became flesh, Emmanuel, God with us, and was born. And any version of the Bible you read that denies that is trash. It don't matter if every page on every other page says it right. If they take out the deity in one place, they're deceiving you. They're deceiving you. Are you hearing me today? Huh? Listen carefully. We're not mad at nobody. I ain't got a grudge against nobody. But I'm going to contend for the faith that was once delivered unto the saints. That's handed down. And I'm going to trust my Bible. I'm going to trust my Bible. Huh? I was reading on why the RS, the Revised Version, that all these other versions has come out of. I was reading this morning on why they don't use the word begotten. And they said themselves that we don't feel it necessary, nor important. Can I tell you, if Jesus is not God, we're all lost, going to hell. Can I tell you, go ahead and tell you, that these men that creep in unawares, if you listen carefully to their wording, they'll be sensual in a testimony or a message, and they'll tell you that Jesus chose not to sin. That He chose not. Been said in this very church. Listen to me. Jesus didn't choose not to sin. Jesus was God. He couldn't sin. Don't take away from the preacher all you want. But don't take away from a Savior. Don't take away from my Jesus and left heaven's glory and put on a robe of flesh and come and suffered and bled and died for my sins. And I might have life and have it more abundantly than I might spend an eternity with Him. He was God in the flesh and God moved in my heart. And it's Christ in me, hope of glory. I have Him this morning. And I'm going to contend for the faith. It's the faith that was once handed down, has been handed down to the saints. The Word of God. The whole Word of God. Huh? We still all right? Huh? The Word. Now let's look at some scripture and we'll let you go. Listen carefully. Now, there's no way I could preach it all this morning. So that's why we're going to be in four parts. All right? At least four parts. But I'm going to give you what the Bible says. This is what the Bible says. All right? Matthew chapter 4. Matthew chapter 4, verse 4. Jesus said, when the devil come again him, Jesus said, but he answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Not every principle, but every word. It's not the principle that I hide in my heart that I might not sin against God. It's the Word of God that I hide in my heart. The very, every word, every preserved word, and we don't even appreciate it. You know that? I support a missionary in Burma myself. His name is Tonzo. And Tonzo sent me a note there yesterday that, they couldn't even go to church this morning because of the military action He said, I'm not going to be able to preach to my people. I'm not going to be able to do anything to my people. He said, I ain't going to be able to go to church. But I know of hundreds of people who profess to be saved today that chose not to come to church. And the only thing was that they stayed up all night watching West Virginia play ball. And they didn't get their clock set back and they didn't make it to church this morning. Huh? It's a shame. We say we love the Word of God. Do we love the Word of God? Talk to me. Do you love the Word of God? But do you consult it every day for your decisions? Do you consult it? Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Every word. Do you read it? You've got time. What does your phone say? How many hours you spend on your phone? We got them things that come up and tell you how many hours you spent on messages, how many you spent on Facebook and all these other stuff. It'll tell you. It'll tell you, it comes up and gives you. How many hours did you spend on it? How many hours did you spend with your Bible? Oh, but I was looking up, how many hours did you spend with your Bible? Well, I read my Bible a lot. Why don't you get you a paperback version? Don't you get one you can mark in and fall in love with and weep on and cry on and kiss it every now and then? Huh? I'm telling you, we better start contending for the faith because there's evil men, seducers, huh, that's coming into the churches and deceiving. Huh? For certain men creep in unawares. They're already creep in. Already creep in. Apostates already creep in. Not going to, it's happening. Huh? And we watch our, and I mentioned this other Sunday, and I'm trying to be offensive, I'm just telling you, you better pay attention. Alright, we watch The Chosen, and we get our Bible. Now we change our thoughts then after we watch The Chosen. The Chosen is your religious movie everybody watches, you know. And that turns our Bible. We won't read our Bible, so watch the movie. And we think we're learning Bible. But it's not correct. I watched just a little piece of the one show, and I turned it off. I said, well, I ain't watching that. That ain't right. I had no sense to see. That ain't right. So what you shouldn't say, well, yeah, it's true. You know? The Passion of the Christ with Mel Gibson. I think it's a great movie. It is, but it's based on Catholicism view. We say, well, that don't matter. Yes, it does matter. The closest thing to a lie, or the closest thing to what is it? The worst lie is one closest to the truth. I'm just telling you, we need our Bible. I'm just telling you, we need to contend for the faith. The faith. That's what's handed down. The Word of God. The whole Word of God. Huh? That's why Sunday school's important. Listen, I'm not growling at you. Does everybody understand I'm not growling nobody? I'm trying to state some truth. Can I tell you, the greatest thing you could do is come to Sunday school. And we go verse by verse. You can. You can come to Sunday school. And bring your Bible and go verse by verse as it's taught you. It'll help you. Huh? It will help you. Now, I'm glad you come to preaching. But I would rather you come to Sunday school. Huh? I would. So you can go verse by verse through your Bible and read it. It'll help you. I know, ain't but three or four like it. I know. Huh? We need the Word of God. And I'm going to give you some scripture. Y'all get ready up there. I'm going to give you some scripture. Get ready, Embry. All right. Acts chapter 20. We okay this morning? I'm just contending for the faith. That's all I'm doing. I'm contending for the faith this morning. Acts 20, verse 32. And now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of His grace, which is able to build you up and give you an inheritance among all them which are sanctified. You want built up. You weak. You need propped up this morning. You're going through it. Have you been too weak to stand on your own? Have you been too weak? You don't know what you're going to do. You want propped up? Sometimes you ain't got time to work on all the foundation. You got to go get you a stick or a board or a post and put it under your foundation just to hold it up so you can get some more work done. Huh? Propped up. Let the Word of God build you up.
Amen.
The Word of grace. I commend you to God and to the Word of His grace. Huh? It'll build you up this morning. How about Romans 10:17? We know that. You want your faith increased? You want faith this morning? Talk to me. Anybody want any faith? Huh? So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Huh? That's the faith that's handed down from the saints. Huh? Contend for the whole Word of God. We need the Word of God this morning. You want revival? We need a revival of the Bible. You're not going to have a revival, no. We need a revival of the Word of God in our heart, in our home. Our children don't know the Bible. Huh? We don't know the Bible. We don't sit around and read the Bible as a whole. Huh? There may be some, but it's not the normal. Huh? It's not the normal. How about 1 Peter chapter 2? 1 Peter chapter 2. Anybody want to grow? Anybody want to grow? I like to grow. I like to grow. I grow out. He's talking in the prayer room. He's talking about their clothes shrinking. It ain't the dryer, it's the refrigerator that causes your clothes to shrink. Huh? But I don't need to grow physically, I need to grow spiritually. How much have you grown spiritually? Huh? How much Bible do you retain? You got to feed on it. Huh? 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 2. As newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the Word that you may grow thereby. We ought to see these babies around here, a newborn. They got a little baby back there. It just a week old. Michaela Lanham got a little week old baby. And all these little babies running around here. Huh? We okay? They desire it. They'll cry out for it. They'll cry for that milk. Huh? We don't cry out for the Word of God. We don't cry for the Word of God. Nobody comes into church, and nobody's ever come to the church and said, "Preacher, preach to me hard today. Preach to me, give me the Word." They don't come in. They come in and say, "Man, how's your week?" They're not hungry for the Word of God. There's many Christians don't even carry the Word of God with them. I'm just going to contend for the faith. 1 John chapter 2. 1 John chapter 2. I'm not mad this morning. Do you know it's hard preaching this morning? You know, to come to a church house and preach on the importance of the Word of God, you would think would be the easiest thing in the world. And it's the hardest. I go down here to Mayor's place, and if they'd let me preach, I could preach on the importance of the Word of God. And they probably say, "You're right, preacher." And I can't get the church to say that. You know why? Because it's not important to you. It's not. It's not. You got your Bible laying at the house and other stuff's packed on it. You got your Bible thrown up in the back window glass of the car. You got thrown in the floorboard. You got thrown in the seat. Huh? Because it's not important to you. Huh? It's not. No. You say, "Well, I don't use a regular Bible. I use a computer." I bet you scroll on Facebook before you read your Bible. Let's see if you got any messages before you hear the message from God.
Yeah. You're telling it right, preacher.
That's good.
You're telling it right.
Yeah. And you want to know why you're a mess? You want to know why when trouble comes you can't handle it? You want to know that? That's why. You know why when you got a wayward child that you get all tore up? Because you can't handle it. You ain't got the Word of God in you. You know why when sickness comes, the doctor tells you something bad wrong, and you get all, what am I going to do? Well, your Bible should have done told you. First John chapter 2, verse 5. But whosoever keepeth his word, we got to know it to keep it. Whosoever keepeth his word, in him verily is the love of God perfected. You want the love of God perfected, completed, huh? Hereby we know that we're in him. It's by the word of God. We still okay? Perfect the love of God in our hearts. How about Psalms 119? Everybody still okay? Now we're going to have a bad time here in a minute. Just wait on. It's going to be okay. I promise you it'll be okay. Huh? You want to know where to step at? Huh? If there's anybody who needs to know how to step, it's me right now. Huh? Right? I need to pay attention to how I step. Y'all agree to that?
Yeah.
I'm going to fall off no more houses if I watch my step, right? Am I right? Hey, listen to me. I won't fall if I watch my step. Can I say that again? I won't fall if I watch my step. But how will I know where to step? Huh? Psalms 119, 105 says, Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Huh? How about verse 133, same chapter? Order my steps in thy word, and let not any iniquity have dominion over me. Huh? I just need my Bible. I'm trying to tell you I need my Bible. How about Proverbs chapter 4? I'm about done. Just hold on. Hold on with me now. Don't lose. And say, well, you preached too long. Did anybody here watch the ball game yesterday? If you watch West Virginia play, hold your hand up. Hold your hand up if you watch the play. Guarantee you it's more than 30 minutes.
Yeah.
Anybody here ever watch Andy Griffith?
Yeah.
Hold your hand up if you ever watch Andy Griffith. Have you ever watched him twice in a row? Hold your hand up. That's an hour right there. But maybe I need to get a drunk up here. Let him have a story of Jack and the Beanstalk told to make it more interesting for you, or have him to lie. Huh? Maybe, you know, that's what Andy Griffith. I'm just going to tell you, it's good, and we all like that, and we all know people like that. But they lie, and they drink, and they run moonshine, and they gossip. I think I'll pattern myself out of the Bible, not Andy. This is what I'd tell you. I hate to be so mean. Proverbs chapter 4, verse 20. My son, attend to my words, incline thine ear to my sayings. Let them not depart from thine eyes. Keep them in the midst of thine heart, for they are life unto thee that find them, and health to all their flesh. It brings me life and health. Do you know that I'll feel better when I read the Bible? I will feel better. Huh? We still okay? Back to Psalms 119. Huh? Give me victory over sin. We know the scripture. Verse 11. Thy word have I hid in my heart that I may not sin against God. Huh? Thy word. I'm talking about the contending for the faith that was once delivered to the saints. This Bible. This Bible that they would read it to pieces. Huh? Proverbs chapter 2. You want to know God? Anybody here want to know God? Talk to me. Anybody here want to know God? How about Proverbs chapter 2 verse 1? My son, if thou will revive my words, or if thou will receive my words and hide my commandments with thee, so that thou incline thine ear to wisdom and apply thine heart to understanding. Yea, if thou criest after knowledge and liftest up thy voice for understanding, if thou seekest her as silver and searchest her as for hid treasures, then shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God.
That's good.
Huh? That's his words. That's the faith that was once delivered to the saints. Contending for the faith that was once delivered to the saints. We still all right? How about, do I need a weapon? Am I in a war? Huh? Y'all in a war? I'm in a war. You know, I was talking to a preacher the other day. He'd been preaching a little bit longer than I have. I said, you know, I thought it was going to be easier after I'd done it for 38 years. I thought it'd get easier. It ain't. It's harder.
No, no,
It's harder. It's harder to preach. It's harder to preach to Christians. I have no trouble preaching sinners. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 17. And take the helmet of salvation, sword of the Spirit, which is a sword of, which is the Word of God. And I'll close with this one. 2 Timothy. I'm just going to contend for the faith. And it's the Word, the whole Word of God. The Word of God's important. And I'm not going to read one that takes away from a Savior. And I'm not going to read one that condones sin. And I'm not going to read one that'll let me do this and do that. That I've got to conform to this book. I'm not going to write me one that this book conforms to my lifestyle. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 15. And from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ. You want to get saved? You're going to have to believe this book. You want to save? You're going to have to believe this book. You're going to have faith in the God of this book, the Savior of this book, in the blood of this book, in the cross of this book, in the empty tomb of this book. You're going to have to believe it this morning. Contend for the faith. Contending for the faith. Beware of evil men that will deceive you with the Word of God. I tell you, it don't matter. It does matter. That's why there was thousands and thousands martyred because of this book. You hear me this morning? How important is your Bible to you this morning? I mean, I'll be able to tell you if you're contending for the faith or not is how important your Bible is to you. How important it is to you today. Bob Gray, Alvy Blankenship, and Eugene Kostanchenko, and a bunch of them went to Ukraine years ago. When they was over there, they was having meetings of all kinds. They filled one of the town halls there, one of the buildings. They was wanting 1,000. They got a little better than 1,000 in this building. They give them all Bibles, Ukrainian Bibles. And Bob Gray Sr. said at that time, he said they give a woman a Bible. She was old, had a scarf over her head, looked like she was 100 years old. She was ages old. And they give her a Bible. And the first thing she did was kissed it. First thing she did. And kissed it. And through an interpreter, she said, when I was a little kid, we had one page of Matthew. And we passed it in our village to house to house until that page was worn and you couldn't read the words. And I always wondered what the rest of it said. And now I have a whole one in my hand. And she kissed it. And we've got them on every shelf, on every table. And we say we're contending for the faith that was once delivered unto the saints. No, we're in apostasy. That's where we're at today. That's why our churches are dead and our lives are in turmoil. We say, well, it's the last days. It is the last days. It is. But it don't have to be like that at Mountain State.
Amen. Amen.
Father, we've given as you've given us. Help us, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's